Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
I promised you a tribute for Dr. Motsoko Pheko, who died at 93 over the weekend. Professor Simphiwe Sisanti is a professor at the University of the Western Cape. Thank you, Prof, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome. Professor Sisanti, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you too, ma'am. Thank you very much for having me.
I really appreciate you making time for us as we pay tribute to Dr. Motsoko Pheko, and just briefly looking at his contribution to this country, your relationship with him, you know, just give us a sense of your own personal relationship with him.
Let me begin by saying that, you know, as you're quite aware that the relationship here, I'm in this capacity, I've been asked by the family to represent them to respond to questions. So that, you know, the first relationship that I'm explaining is that I am, in that sense, a family friend to the entire Pheko family. Mm-hmm. But also an extension to that, I grew up in the political movement that Dr. Pheko led. And therefore, that also means that I'm a political student of his, because in my youth, I was guided by the books that he read in gaining and expanding my political education.
I mean, he was a prolific writer. I think 30 books published by him, and a lot of his work, you know, obviously also given over to universities, his archives, you know, almost, I believe it was donated to the universities, particularly University of South Africa. How important was knowledge to Dr. Pheko?
That is a very important observation to make. You're quite correct that a few years ago, you know, the University of South Africa celebrated him and celebrated his 90th birthday. And he gave quite a lot of material that he had published to the university, because in addition to Dr. Pheko being a political activist, he was also a scholar of note. You know, amongst the books that he wrote are the books such as Apartheid, The Story of a Dispossessed People, that gave an account of how the African people was dispossessed. Now, that is very important because in the absence of the appreciation of how a people became colonized or how a people became oppressed, then they do not have clarity about their state of oppression, and also there tends to be vagueness, not only about their frustrations, but also about their aspirations. So in that sense, therefore, Dr. Pheko understood the importance of knowledge in that regard, that you will never be able to fight. You cannot fight an enemy that you do not know. You cannot confront a problem whose nature you do not understand. And so in that sense, therefore, you know, Dr. Pheko provided with his literature the liberation of the mind, because, as it were, you know, we have to appreciate that colonialism, one of the deadliest acts of colonialism, is to colonize the mind. Because once you colonize the mind, it does not matter that people, you know, may be given a flag independence, they may be given national anthem independence, but if their minds continue to be oppressed, they will continue to do what the enemy has done. In fact, what they will seek to do is that they will want to go into the boots of the enemy and do what the enemy has been doing all along. So when the oppressed aspire to become, you know, and to fit in the positions that were held by the enemy, then they become no different from the oppressors. So therefore, colonial liberation, assisted or enabled by knowledge, becomes, you know, a prerequisite in that sense. And so Dr. Mutoko Pepo understood this, you know, very well. And when you would know that over and over again, the members, the followers of the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania always complained that Sobukwe's voice is silent and all of that. But Dr. Mutoko Pepo, I don't remember hearing him saying this, but the manner in which he addressed that was to write a biography of Mangaliso Sobukwe, mm-hmm. putting together the writings of Mangaliso Sobukwe, putting together his historical contribution to the liberation struggle. Thus, in that sense, Dr. Mutoko Pepo effectively, you know, gave back the voice of Mangaliso Sobukwe to Sobukwe so that his followers would be able to listen to him. Mm-hmm. Because a vocal call, you know, is a very tiny part. Mm-hmm. You may miss one vocal cord or sound,
yep.
but in thoughts, that is the major important thing. And in that sense, therefore, Dr. Mutoko Pepo played a key, vital, you know, and essential role in seeking to liberate the people, you know, through decolonized education, through Afrocentric education, and through his writing. And I've done all of this to respond to one question about how important, you know, knowledge was to him. This is how important it was to him.
One of the things that also remains central to his fight is the liberation of a people through the return of a land to the African people. It continues to be the mission of the PAC, but he took that to his grave. This is one of the key elements of what he believed needed to be restored in this country.
I'm very glad that you have raised that point, ma'am, because it gives us an opportunity to seriously interrogate this. Because, you know, when the Pan-Africanist Congress was making, you know, a passionate plea about the need to repossess the land, some sections, you know, within the liberation movement ridiculed the PAC in this regard and reduced the call for the land to plots or rather to the soil. But the land is much more than that, and it gives us a... Let us begin by saying, Mutoko Pepo, you know, in his book, South Africa, a Betrayal of a Colonized People, which was a sequel, I think, to Apartheid, the Story of a Dispossessed People, he cites Moshoeshoe, the king of Basotho, who was known to be a very peaceful man. But King Moshoeshoe then says to the settlers, white settlers from Europe, while he was, he says, listen here, and I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, almost, he says, listen here, you must always understand that in this land, you are wayfarers. You do not own a single piece of, you know, you own nothing. You are guests in this land. So therefore, you know, there was never a confusion, in as much African people did not have this confusion about their land. Those who came from anywhere else could be treated with hospitality, could be treated with kindness, but they had to know that they were guests, that they would not take any piece of land and claim it as theirs. And so Moshoeshoe himself was being loyal to the teachings of Africa about land, the philosophical position that is not only, you know, confined to a single group. When you examine African philosophy from Cape to West Africa, from West Africa to East, throughout the entire continent, I say this with confidence, throughout the African continent, that African people have held the view that the land can neither be bought nor can it be sold. It is a common property of the ancestors that must be made freely available to everyone that seeks to use it. The logic of this, Julius Nyerere would explain it later, our Mwalimu from Tanzania, was that when our ancestors made this provision, they were protecting the poor from the rich because they understood that if the land could be sold, which is a source of living because everything is on the land, the water, cattle need to feed there, that way our shrines would be. If you sell land, then the rich are going to be able to buy up everything and the poor would have nothing. Look at what we have today. You know, if you have a house, those who have taken our land sell us back plots. For 20 years, you pay a bond. If you cannot afford to pay a bond for land, you are going to rent. You are paying about 5,000 rand, 6,000. Other people are paying 15,000 rand. You know, to a person that is sitting comfortably there, accumulating money and taking money from the poor, so that when the person does not have the money to pay the rent anymore, then that person, you know, will be kicked out. The same applies. You pay a bond for a particular time, you lose a job and all of that, you lose everything, right? And that is the capitalist system. So if land were made freely available to everyone, then people would be able to live, settle, and be able to plant, to grow, and all of that. But when the Europeans then dispossessed the African people, they imposed this alien law of buying and selling land. And so when we speak, therefore, about the land...
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.